Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome back, folks. We are trying to connect up with Daphne Barnes, Executive Director of Economic Mobility at GNO Inc., to talk about the initiatives for 2026 for the NOLA Coalition that has been incredibly important to the city and making a huge impact on so many different fronts. And we have been the beneficiary of visiting with a number of the non-for-profits that have been participating in that endeavor over the year. And it's been some of the favorite interviews that I have been involved in. I've learned so much from so many special people that is doing so many special things in our community, working in the trenches each and every day. So as soon as we're able to hook up with Daphne, we'll go there. Just a reminder that we will be broadcasting live from the GEDCO annual luncheon, and we'll visit with a number of folks. Guy Williams we'll visit with, Cynthia Lee Shang, the parish president, and many others. And so we look forward to that. And just remember that in the back half of this hour, we're going to visit with Helena Moreno, the New Orleans mayor-elect, to talk about what's going on the last couple of days with the Cantrell administration, silly games leading to silly outcomes and just not making sense to me. You would think that we would be looking out for the best interest of our city as an entity and obviously all of the people that live within the city, but that doesn't seem to be the way that this is going to be handled. We are joined by Daphne Barnes, Executive Director of Economic Mobility at GNO Inc. Daphne, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel. Welcome and happy holidays.
Same to you. Just talking about NOLA Coalition, the impact that y'all have made over the past several years, and we now close out another year, and I've been the beneficiary of interviewing a number of folks that y'all have sent my way. But we're here to discuss the initiatives of 2026, because some of the things that y'all were trying, that y'all were addressing, have been addressed, and there are new challenges out there.
You know, that's one of the things that happens when you are, you know, really working with a true coalition mindset. You see the changes that occurs, and we're seeing tremendous, tremendous opportunity here in the state, in our city, to show our leadership at both the state and national levels, to show how this turnaround looks, how you work with all of the leadership and use all of your available resources from the business perspective, the community perspective. We're talking about our religious leaders and our legislators to affect this kind of change. So, I mean, we are excited about the direction things are going, especially with the consent decree being lifted and, you know, just working with our new mayor and her new team. We're just over the moon with the direction that New Orleans is going in.
Daphne, if you would, let's revisit what the original mission of the NOLA Coalition was and stated so that people kind of have a reminder of what it is that this initiative is all about.
So the NOLA Coalition, our mission was to really harness the collective resources within our city to create a safer and more prosperous New Orleans for all of our residents. Right, our goal was to support near-term actions to reduce violence and pair that with social services to drive generational change. And we had a two-part plan that was focused on, number one, public safety, and number two, investment in our youth. So we launched in 2022. We have over 600 businesses and nonprofit members representing thousands of employees where, you know, that we brought together to really work, you know, investing our time, our people, and our expertise to make that difference in New Orleans. And we're seeing the results of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why when you mentioned the consent decree, that was a major part and kind of a driving force, right, of that initiative, one of the component parts of it, I should say. And that is now resolved itself, and it's moved into a whole different phase.
Whole different phase. You know, when we talk about our emphasis on public safety, some of the impact we've done, we have together holistically raised millions for NOPD pay and retention and supported that legislation, new equipment, you know, constitutional technology, we've worked with that, we've created accountability dashboards, we have leverage our partnerships with both, you know, at the civic level and the business level, working with DXC to create a new recruitment app that's launching, and also supported the national search for our NOPD chief. And you see we have Chief Ann Kirkpatrick. So we are, you know, we have really been utilizing what we have to make this impact, and it is the evidence is there.
So as you look at the what has been accomplished, what do you anticipate relative to changes or maybe additional initiatives in 2026 on that first part of the two-part mission?
Well, we looked at this holistically. Now it's time to kind of look at things at more of a surgical level, right? It's like when you go into the doctor, you want to treat, you triage a patient, right? You treat the thing that's most pressing. And we were having a problem with violence, intense violence in our city, right? So a lot of that has kind of calmed down. Not saying that it's non-existent. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, it's kind of calmed
to the point.
It's
subsided some, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. And we are one of the top leaders in the nation in crime reduction. But now it's time to look at those individual pieces that actually make up why we're having this crime. So some of those things are with our NOLA Connect mission, where we are going into the neighborhoods and we're working with neighborhood leaders to come up with strategy based on their zip codes and their specific people, because what's needed in New Orleans East is may not be the same things or the same priorities for Algiers, or the same thing for Mid-City, Central City, Gentilly. So now we're working more hands on, boots on the ground, to have those more specific targets that we can, so we can work with the legislators in that area, the community folks, and also our faith-based people, our nonprofits, to really look at addressing the change and investing in those communities.
One of the things that I noticed I've not experienced before is the collaborative nature of these 501c3s working together. I think recognizing that they're not in competition with one another, they're actually complementary to one another. And I love that change in mindset.
Absolutely. We're stronger together. And so we saw that, and that's one of the things that we are focusing on, is taking those nonprofits that are complementary and showing how that they can actually galvanize and raise a lot more funds to achieve their collective missions with joint grant applications, you know, joint support at both national, you know, like at national levels and even at the local level. Instead of having a number of people applying for the same funds, let's come together and work on our missions that are aligned to affect greater change.
Daphne, y'all have your finger on the pulse of, you know, the giving nature of our community. There are a lot of headwinds out there right now. A lot of angst, anxiety about the state of the economy. There's kind of, you know, conflicting reports. What are y'all seeing and what are you hearing?
Well, the economy and you know, it fluctuates by nature.
Right.
We see it's a different story in different neighborhoods, but I think everyone can feel somewhat of a pinch. Now, we may not see that in Black Friday sales, as they're showing that historic.
No, we didn't. We set new records.
we set records, so it's really hard.
I know we are at the Norman residence.
Look, I'm not even going to tell you what I did at Lowe's. They had these ridiculous sales, and I'm like, you know what? This is disrespectful. I'm supposed to be saving money right now, and this is what you all do. But, you know, I did purchase.
The temptation really, is intense.
It is intense. But I think people still want to feel, especially around the holidays, why we tend to see this, is they want to have that sense of normalcy. We are a community where we gather and we give. We give our family. We want to have the big meals. We want to have the children running around on their new bicycles, playing with their new games. We want to do that. And it's hard to kind of resist that temptation, but there is a struggle. People are hurting in the economy, and we see this at almost every level, including entry level, including professional level. So, I mean, this is about how we are looking at what are our strengths here in New Orleans and how we can capitalize off of that. I think that's where people are starting to go, because we have some strong areas, and now we have to look and say, okay, maybe this pathway is not the one I'm taking. Maybe it's going to be the next one. I mean, we see right now, I'm pretty sure you know, we work with GNO. We have an initiative, GNO RAMP, which is our Regional Aerospace and Advanced Manufacturing Partnership. Mm-hmm. At the federal level, there's a huge shortage in skilled trade workers, right? These are people with high wage, high demand careers. We're now seeing that some of our young people are starting to say, wait, I may need to look at this, because this seems to be a career pathway that may not be as that may not be as targeted by our new, our favorite buzzword, artificial intelligence, AI, right? We still need skilled workers to go in, and young people are starting to see that and make different decisions. Even now, our Pell grants are changing, where workforce, direct workforce, is now eligible. People who are going into those fields are now eligible for Pell grants, where they weren't before.
Yeah, there's a lot of different changes, little nuances, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are changing, but have a big time downstream implications. And it's interesting that how difficult sometimes it is to qualify it and quantify it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like with anything in economics, you may not even know you were in a recession until economists say this 5 years later. You know, so it changes by day. And this is the long game. We may see a little, you know, dip, and then next thing you know, we have huge investment, which we're seeing now. You see what's happening with the investment in maritime. You know, you see the investment that's happening in energy throughout our region. You see the investment with plants being built or expanded. So we see these in different ways.
Yeah, one of the reasons I asked the question is that, you know, our community has always punched above our weight.
Oh, yeah.
Relative to giving. And I hear that from a lot of people that have moved here and have taken, you know, CEO positions of many companies that are located here, that they've never really experienced such a giving community. And oftentimes, you know, one of the things that keeps me up at night is that if that dissipates or disappears, what happens? Because there's so many areas where there's no one agency or unit that has the assets or resources necessary to deliver the level of services that we need to mm-hmm. deliver. And that's why that complementary attitude amongst the 501c3s I've been, you know, incredibly, not to repeat myself, but incredibly excited about, because it's absolutely necessary, right?
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. And that's why we're encouraging this. The same thing that keeps you up at night, it keeps me up at night, because I know the incredible work a lot of our nonprofits are doing with the support of, you know, our private industry, with the support of our government. And, you know, sometimes when these things happen, we see pullbacks from, you know, from giving. And that does hurt us. So that's why we're looking at and strategizing on how we can make sure that our nonprofits are set up to be successful. And that's going to come through that collaboration. And, you know, that's one of our focus points for this year, getting people together to see how they can affect more change at a larger level, and also learning how to work with less resources, because that's difficult, how to streamline things.
So with your more than 600 cooperating partners in NOLA Coalition, is there like a get-together or a series of interactions that will take place in the first quarter of 2026, or did it take place in this quarter of 2025, looking forward to what next year has to offer?
Absolutely. So we're continuing our Neighborhood Connects with NOLA Coalition. And on January, we will be in New Orleans East. And the planning committee for the people in New Orleans East, we're still, you know, putting all the fine-tuning and putting the final touches on that. So we will be in New Orleans East at that time in January. And then every quarter, we're going to be in a different neighborhood gathering this information and putting this together and working with our legislators and our community members to, you know, to direct the change that we want to see happen.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for accommodating us as well and making the connection for us with so many just incredible organizations doing incredible work down in the trenches. You don't hear about them much. And it's one of the favorite things that I've been able to experience in my new walk in life. Well, not so new any longer. I've been here 8 years already. But it's been exciting, you know, to talk to folks that give a damn, that want to make a difference every day. Because a lot of them are unsung heroes. You don't hear about them, but they're doing incredible work.
Every day. Yes, thank you. And happy holidays to you. Thank you for always, you know, being supportive of the work that we do and really giving us this platform to showcase those same people throughout our entire region who is really putting in that work. Truly appreciate it, Noel.
It's been a pleasure here, and thank you. Daphne Barnes, Executive Director of Economic Mobility at GNO Inc. Have a great holiday season. And, folks, we will be right back. We're broadcasting live from the People's Health Medicare Center at 3017 Veterans Boulevard between Trader Joe's and Causeway. Can't miss it. Easy in, easy out. We actually have some free passes for you. For Celebration in the Oaks, for the walking tour there. So don't forget to ask when you come on by. We'll be right back. We'll visit with the mayor-elect, Helena Moreno, when we return.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are joined by New Orleans Mayor-elect Helena Moreno, and obviously she is a council member at the present time as well. Helena, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. Good morning.
So a lot of silly games being played, silly outcomes. I know that your team from PFM has been working hard on these budget numbers. A lot of interaction with the Cantrell administration in advance of the Revenue Estimating Committee meeting that was held yesterday at 9:30 a.m., which just makes things and ease of administration and transition a lot smoother. But the mayor had different thoughts. What happened?
Yeah, it was an interesting day. Let me just walk your listeners through what happened. So, in looking at the budget, the previous recommendation from the Revenue Estimating Conference, or I guess I should say the current estimate or recommendation, is that revenues coming in next year roughly look like $725 million coming into the city of New Orleans. And the expenditures are roughly, you know, $920 million plus. So I was dealing with overall $222 million deficit. So having that level of cuts would be very detrimental to city services. So one of the things I instructed PFM and also Councilmember DeRusso, who is the chair of the Budget Committee, is to figure out all different types of revenue enhancements. Go find me some money, overall is what I said. Go find me some money for next year. And so they were tasked with that duty, and they found about $74 million, almost close to $75 million in new revenue. And this is everything from money that Sewage and Water Board owes us. This is money coming from a Wisner lawsuit. This is also money coming in from additional collections and new parking enforcement employees who are coming online and what that revenue looked like. And so we wanted to present this to the Revenue Estimating Conference so that there could be a new projection of money for 2026. And then that way all of our numbers could all be matched up and with our budget. So we asked for this meeting a while ago, I guess I would say about 2 weeks ago, and the mayor declined to have the meeting. But the council can still call an REC meeting by motion. So we called it by motion. So then earlier, you know, last week, we said that we would be having these additional numbers, and we had a variety of different news conferences as to how we had these additional numbers, and kind of the concept of it all was sent to the Cantrell administration. I was on your show talking about it with Councilmember DeRusso. You had all the numbers. Explain how our experts, our financial experts, got to these numbers. Also, the fact that the legislative auditor also looked through these numbers and saw that the money was real. So we asked the Cantrell administration on Wednesday if we could have a call, a Zoom, just a Zoom, a call. You know, I didn't say everybody come to City Hall, just a Zoom or a call on Friday afternoon after Thanksgiving. Give us 30 minutes to an hour to walk everybody through it so we could all get on the same page before Monday's REC meeting. At that point, the mayor declined, saying that it was a holiday and people were off traveling and all these different things. And I'm like, okay, well, we're all working, trying to get the budget together. And every other time, Newell, that it's been budget season, I can tell you that we worked weekends with the CAO's office. We worked nights. We worked whatever it took to get this budget right. And let me go back to even my time in the legislature. Same thing then. We worked with staff in the legislature, with the governor's office. I sat on the appropriations committee, and we worked all through the weekend, late into the night, midnight texts and phone calls trying to get the budget right. That's just how the process works. So when I started to see that level of dialogue of not even willing to have this meeting because it was a weekend, or not even a meeting, really, a Zoom call, I would have been happy if we would have just had a phone call. But anyway, just seeing this level of resistance to even talk about these revenue enhancements to the budget, that's when I started to think that there could be trouble coming, obviously, for the REC meeting on Monday. I was worried that we wouldn't even have a quorum, but when I saw the mayor show up, I thought, well, you know what? Maybe cooler heads have prevailed and all is going to be fine and we'll be able to do the presentation. And the presentation that Councilmember DeRusso had put together for REC included all of these different experts. First of all, Mike Wagasback, the legislative auditor, was sitting in the audience there to be called upon should his testimony be necessary. We also had Judy Barrasso, who is our leading attorney in the Wisner case. We had Chris Johnson with Jones Walker, who had a legal opinion as to why we were able to utilize ARPA payments. We had the director of the Sewage and Water Board, along with Sewage and Water Board leadership there, ready to present, along with PFM advisors on why we realized that there could be additional collections and additional money coming in for 2026. Right off the bat, the mayor said that the numbers hadn't been properly vetted and that she wouldn't allow for the presentation. I pushed back and said, look, I know that you're the chair of this committee. I understand if you're not going to vote to approve the new number of $799 million of what we're now seeing as the true revenue coming in for 2026. But I would appreciate if you would give Councilmember DeRusso the ability to do his presentation and have all these professionals who are here today and made time to be here today, the ability to do this presentation, not really necessarily for our behalf at this point, since you're not going to vote for it, you need a unanimous vote for there to be an REC recommendation, but for the public's benefit so that they have a full understanding of how we came up with these additional revenue enhancements. And she, as chair, shot me down, said, that's not going to happen. We're not even going to do the presentation. And long story short, she adjourned the meeting. So we went into the council meeting, and because the REC recommendation is just a recommendation, we could still move forward with our budget with these revenue enhancements and have a $799 million budget and still have a balanced budget due to the fact that we have PFM advisors backing us up, due to the fact that the legislative auditor looked at these numbers. But just to be ultra, you know, conservative as and safe as I like to be and accurate, I've already talked to Council President Morrell about moving forward by motion an REC meeting on January 12th that I will then preside over, since I'll be right after I get sworn in, and then we'll go ahead and recognize this additional revenue and then move forward with everything being on the up and up with the revenue being recognized by REC. So really, this was just a disappointing, I guess, kind of delay tactic. What's even more disappointing is that Mara Force, who is the Tulane economist who sits on REC, saw the presentation that we put forward during the budget committee that laid out all of this information as to how we came up with this additional revenue. And she said that it all seemed very viable and that she would have voted on REC to recognize this additional revenue. So, like I said, it was just all very disappointing, but we still were able to move forward with a really, you know, I would say it's a strong budget for under the circumstances, where I was able to keep whole essential services like public safety and sanitation and things like that But it was it's still going to be tough due to the level of cuts to the other departments. But this is just a starting point, Newell. As I've said before, this is a starting point with the budget. Every single day, we're going to work to find different efficiencies in government, find new revenue, and get as much operational excellence as we can from city government.
I mean, the interesting thing to me is, not being receptive to any of this is that the entity, the city of New Orleans, is what we should all be working for, right? And obviously the citizens of the city as well. When you're implementing budget strategies that kind of change, like when the utilization of one-time money is a budget strategy, and the additional interesting thing is that there's a series of emails where this was all vetted by her staff, right? Because this is, as you pointed out, how they ordinarily conduct their business in advance of the adoption of the budget on December 1st. This is not unusual. So I just don't understand, when you throw a softball over the plate for the mayor to hit, why not just hit it? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me, other than I guess maybe you are viewing this as an admission that what you presented is less than. Well, you need to get over that, right? We're supposed to be all adults in the room, and we shouldn't be playing the spoiled brat child. You know, I'm going to pick up my marbles and walk away.
Well, and I'll say this, I guess what was disappointing as well is that, except for one employee, nobody really pushed back. It was just, oh, we're not going to have this Zoom meeting, I guess. Like, nobody said, it's like, you know, who was in this email chain, like, mayor, why don't we just hear them out, you know? Like, or mayor, maybe I don't agree with them, but let's hear them out. You know, I mean, to not have a Zoom call for, give me 30 minutes to an hour on the Friday after Thanksgiving. I'm not saying bust up your Thanksgiving day. I'm not saying we need a Thanksgiving Day Zoom meeting. I'm saying the day after. Can you take 30 minutes to an hour to deal with one of the most important issues that you as mayor should be dealing with, which is the city operational budget? And the answer was no. Now, I am incredibly grateful for one of the CAO staffers who, even though, from what I understand, was told not to help and not to work, she spent hours and hours through her holiday and weekend helping Joe DiRusso and I and my team come up with the different amendments and make sure that the council was ready to have all the amendments submitted on time and the budget passed on time tomorrow. And we could not have done it without her. And I appreciate that type of city employee that knows that overall their role in government is to serve the people of the city. And her role here was to ensure that the city budget was passed on time. Because I can tell you, if myself and Joe and our staff not familiar with all the different codes in the budget, I mean, that's not what we do every single day. I mean, this is a very specific job. There's no way we could have gotten it done without her. And I am forever grateful, and I won't forget, and it is noticed, how she did step up for us.
And that's what you're required to do. I mean, you know, look, I served for a number of years. There are a lot of things that were not convenient. You know, the state law, parish ordinances, city ordinances dictate certain things happen at certain times, and the holidays move sometimes, and sometimes it's just at a very inconvenient point in time, but still required. You still have that fiduciary obligation to the public, and to the entity, the city of New Orleans, and you have to fulfill it. It's just kind of mind-numbing to me that we play these silly games, we have silly outcomes, and we're not working together to try and turn this around, you know. And then we find out from the WWL reporting that David Hammer did on the JIRR program, we have a better understanding now why. Head scratcher to me, but I mean, why we find ourselves in the predicament that we find ourselves in. I mean,
I don't know how much you've talked about the David Hammer story with your listeners, but I mean,
I haven't yet. I intend to at 12:30.
So.
Okay, good. Well, I'll say this. I mean, just a quick preview then. The fact that that the city used general fund operating dollars to pay for federally funded projects and just hope to be reimbursed is unbelievable. And so roughly what I'm hearing is $120 million. I'm having the number audited and checked by the state legislative auditor. We're actually going into a meeting with the CAO's office on this tomorrow. As you can imagine, I've talked to everyone from had Mike Wagasback reach out to members of Congress to see what we can do to get this figure and figure out a reimbursement. I've also contacted folks with the governor's office for assistance here, because if we can recoup these dollars, this is what can get us out of this mess sooner than later. And but the fact that they took this route and used general fund dollars and not, let's say, capital dollars to be able to do this to front this money was just like, wow.
But help me out with this, if you don't mind, real mm-hmm. quick. So under the JIRR program, I remember Joe Threat testifying before the council and talking about how fortunate the city was that they were able to work out a reimbursement program where they were actually advanced dollars, right? And
yes.
and the way that it worked and that actually helped facilitate them accomplish a lot of what they
yes.
accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Did he know they were paying this money out of the general fund as opposed to taking advantage of this special accommodation to the city of New Orleans, which I don't know who was able to craft that, but kudos to them, because you don't see those agreements very often. At least I never saw
them. Yeah. No clue. And I'll tell you this. I mean, one of the reasons why I'm bringing Mike Wagasback back to the meeting tomorrow, or he's bringing me, vice versa, we both kind of asked for the meeting and we both asked to bring each other, is so that we can get a real understanding as to how did this all happen. He wants to hear it for his office, and obviously I want to hear it for not only the council, but for the office I'll soon take over, so we can figure out these next steps. But that's the other piece, too, is that we're really finding out a lot of this. And kudos to David Hammer because of a lot of the work that he's done and what he's been able to uncover as well.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense, because that's where your working capital resides, is in the general fund.
I mean, no doubt. You know. It doesn't make any sense at all. I know. And then what's interesting, as you probably saw as well, is that they went from general fund and then they were like, oh, wait, let's not do that anymore. Let's go ahead and go to the capital fund instead, which actually made more sense. That's really concerning. But if we can get it figured out, this is something that if we're able to get that reimbursement, it could really turn things around for the city.
No, there's no doubt about that. And hopefully the governor has the wherewithal to make some decisions on how that, you know, will be carried forward, because that could be huge in the recovery of this predicament that we find ourselves in at the present time. As always, Mayor-elect Moreno, thank you so much for spending time with us. We know that you're incredibly busy, but I got to tell you, what I'm hearing from folks is they really appreciate the transparency and they appreciate the attention to detail.
And, well, thank you, Newell. I appreciate that. And today I'll be announcing my leadership team, so stay tuned for that.
Well, I wasn't going to ask you about that, but if you want to reveal a one or two right now, that would be...
Look,
okay, but we're just teasing.
I don't want to blow it for all the candidates, you know, who are going to be up with me today.
I get it.
All the different folks. So.
I get it. That attention to detail. I get it.
Right. Thank you.
Well, have a great day and a great week. Thank you so much, and good luck with the state.
Okay. Bye bye.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. We're broadcasting live from the People's Health Medicare Center, right here at 3017 Veterans Boulevard. Come on by. Make sure that you take care of your business relative to Medicare. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Folks, when we return after the top of the hour news break, we're going to visit with Nick Carl, Vice President of Growth for People's Health. We're going to go to the text line. A lot of questions being asked, and we'll try to get each and every one of those answered. And then we'll have a little bit of a monologue after that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.